I don't preach. It's not a sermon. This word actually has come out of when we did the fast at the beginning of the year, which we tend to do most Januaries. And it's really good, actually. I quite like to be told almost you need to fast and that, because it's good discipline for me, because my discipline's not off myself. It's not very good. So it's good to have a focus for the church particularly. Mm. So this word actually... And it probably will last about 10 minutes, basically, but there you go, it doesn't matter. And as I take myself into, those who know where we live, we've got a spare bedroom, and I take myself there. And the idea of the fasting was, instead of eating, which is, I fasted food, instead of eating, then I actually took myself away and was praying and seeking God. And on one of these sessions over the 3 days that I did this, the word rubbish came out, like rubbish, you know. And I'm thinking, you know what, rubbish. And I'm thinking, rubbish, you know, rubbish, what's rubbish, Lord, got to do with me, you know, praying? And he was saying that while your life, and I took this not just for me, this is where I had a word with Pastor Andrew about, you know, this word that came. It's not just for me, it's for all of us. While our lives are so full of rubbish, which is all the things that we do and fill our times and things like this, while it's so full of that, we haven't got any space for him. That was basically, you know. And so after excuse me, after that session, I just sort of started writing things that he said to me that was coming in. And you know, rubbish, we see rubbish as packaging, excess, you know, excess cornflake packet or something that we don't want, a cup that's broken or a washing machine that doesn't break, leftover things, clothes that are too small, or just things that we don't no longer need. That's the sort of material things of rubbish. But it's not just the material, you know, it's spiritual. We have a lot of spiritual things that fill our minds. It's not just about it being material, but it's spiritual. And I did what Duncan does, but not on Wikipedia. I just looked in the dictionary to find the definition of rubbish, and it's waste material, useless objects, worthless or absurd talk, writings, things that are of no significance, no use. And as I said, I asked myself, you know, Lord, you know, rubbish, where does that feature? And I just, you know, he's sort of saying, you know, while you're hanging on to things that are not of me, then I can't use you for the things that I want to use you for. And things like we sit, I when it gets to about 6:15, I like to watch Pointless.
That's pointless, isn't it?
It is. But almost, not quite, but almost, I want to be home for 6:15 so that I can watch Pointless, regardless. Which actually is rubbish. And it's pointless. But I really quite like it, because I like quiz programmes, you see, and I like to just see. But it's things like that we really so focus on. I'm not massively that bad, but I'm bad enough, you know. And it's like things, you know, stuff that we watch on television sometimes is so violent or gossipy, all the worldly stuff that is definitely not uplifting, but we take it in as if it is. We take it in as if that's it, you know. Oh, you know, and we gossip about people, and we just take in all these things as if that is it. And it's not. And so we're so filling in and filling in. Andrew was saying last week, when I shouted out, and he was on about slavery, sometimes we're slaves to some of these worldly things that we lose the focus of God. And it just sort of... I then began thinking, what else do I do that is, I would class as not relevant or not godly? A bit like Duncan was just saying at communion, and he actually said last week about an empty vase and us filling it if it's full. If we're full, so full of worldly stuff, of other things, then where's the space for God to sort of fill us? You know, where is this? In 1 John 2, 15-17, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sin... Sorry. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has done and does... come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So, you know, while we're sort of living in the world and we're missing the point that God's got for us, it doesn't come from the Father, us being in the world. And in John 15:19, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." And often we want to fit in, don't we? We want to belong. And so we go along with, you know. Did you watch EastEnders, say, for instance? I don't watch EastEnders, but did you watch it? No. You didn't watch it. Well, you feel, a bit out of it if perhaps you didn't watch or do something that somebody else... Did you go to so-and-so? Well, no. Oh, you know, why not? And so you feel... You just feel uncomfortable. You can. I don't particularly, because I'm old now and I don't care what people think. But you can feel uncomfortable by what other people think of you. But really, we should think, what does God think of us? What are we doing for God? What does God, you know? And when we gave our lives to Jesus, we were taken out of the world in because we gave our lives, and we were taken out of the world to live our lives the way God planned for us. That's for me, that was, God doesn't want me to go down that path anymore. He wants me to take this path. And yes, it can take a while to turn the corner or go down a different road, but that's, as Christians, that's what we have to do. And I was thinking about, about how we cannot be in the world, if you like. And I was thinking about spring cleaning and about Christmas is finished, we've had New Year, we've all had good fun, we've seen our families, we've had, you know, we've eaten and drunk too much and all the partying and everything that we've done. But then, 2nd of January, we have to take stock. Oh, my clothes are a bit tight, and I need to now go on a diet, and I need to now start cleansing my body, sort of thing, and I need to start being careful what I'm putting back into my body, so that I can get back into the clothes that I could get into 2 months ago, sort of thing. And I'm sure it's the same for a lot of us. And we sort of say, we have to lose weight and we must go on a diet and all this. We feel the need to spring clean our physical bodies. So it is with our spiritual bodies, I feel. And I feel this is what God was saying. We need to get back on track spiritually with God, our walk with God. And as I said earlier on, we get so involved with worldly things that we tend to lose sight of God. And it's not just about getting rid of things that are materially. We have also carried over a lot of rubbish and a lot of things in our minds from the past year. Things that people have hurt us, people have done to us, people have said about us, people haven't done things that they said they were going to do. People have looked at us funny. Our family have upset us. It's things like that. That is sort of the rubbish that we need to put away. And again, it's been said before in church. Put your baggage there. Walk out the door and leave it there. Put your rubbish there. Leave it there. Don't pick it up on your way out. And we've had this before. People, you know, we've been spoken to before about it. But we don't. We it's a comfort blanket sometimes, and we hang on to these things, and we hang on to what so-and-so said 3 years ago, or what so-and-so said last week. And I think the bait of Satan for me is reminding us that what we do carry on, what we do carry on carrying. And so, you know, God's saying, get rid of all this stuff. Because it's a new year. It's you know, you're here. You want some more of me, but there's no room for me. And I want there to be room for me. So you have to get rid of all this. And, you know, I know it's easy said than done, but if we look at the big picture, it's for us. It's for our benefit. We're all saying we want to do the work of God. Pete's saying, you know, missions and we're all missionaries. Well, we are. If we're not so tied up with going to this place, television, whatever, if we're not so tied up and we haven't got our lives so full, that God is saying, where am I in all this? Where am I? Where's my little slot? In fact, actually, that's the problem. He has a minute little slot. He might have 5 minutes in a 24-hour day. And it should be the other way around, actually, you know, when you really think about it. It's like when I sort of sort out my summer clothes and I think, I didn't wear that for the last 3 years, I'm going to send it to the charity shop. So I've got a big pile like this that's going to the charity shop. And then I think, well, I might wear it, so I'll put it back. And it's one of my favourite things. So by the time, I've actually almost got more back on my pile than I had that I was clearing out. And that's what it's like with our lives sometimes. We just hang on to things that are comfortable.
Right.
We just want to feel that cosiness. And we're almost scared of saying, Lord, do with me what you will. I'm open, I've got an empty vessel. And we're almost scared of saying that because he might well do send you to Kisumu or send you to Outer Mongolia or wherever. Or even within the church say, right, I'd like you to do this. can't do that. But yes, we can. And we're stopping ourselves, we're hindering ourselves from doing what God wants us to do. And there are lots of things that we in our lives that we have no control whatsoever over. No control. But yet, we still hang on to things. I just think of sometimes my children who are all grown up, and you've all met most of my kids. And I have no control over what they say, what they do, where they go, apart from the fact that I live here and there in England. But they're all adults in their own. I have no control, even though sometimes I see them going down a path that I think that they shouldn't be going down. I have no control. So I could sit here and fret and worry and panic and do all this and have my mind so focused. Yes, I think about them and I pray for them, but I can't do anything about it, so I have to let it go and let the Lord deal with it. Yeah. And so, you know, because I have 5 kids, and if I worried about every single one of them, I'd be, well, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be...
It'd be great.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'd be greater than I am. But you know what I mean, don't you? It's just that we take on things that we have no control over. And why? Why? You know, that's the question. Why? We need to let things go. We need to let past all the past things that are of no consequence. The past, they've gone, aren't they? They're away. They've gone. There's nothing we can do. It's been, it's gone. It's like when I'm saying, once I've said it, it's said. As I can't unsay it, and that's the way. And this is what I really strongly feel, that if we don't let the past go, then we can't take on board what God has for us. And I've written all these notes, and I'm just going anywhere now with them all. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Well, he has these plans for us, but if we're not open, if we're not able to receive because we're so chock-a-block and clogged up and want our chimneys cleaning and stuff like this, then he can't do what he wants to do. And if we want a future, we have to lay down what's holding us back from the past. To help us spring clean our lives, we need to get back into the Word, to spend quality time with the Lord. And again, in private, for me, it was the fasting time. And we also need to meet up with one another and give each other support, because we can't do a lot of these things. We cannot do on our own. We need help sometimes. And yes, we need to pray and seek God, but we need help from one another. So that if we've got, Juliet, I've got this problem, will you pray with me? And if necessary, you can talk to and say, what do you think about this? And am I doing this wrong? Or things like this. We need to get involved. We need to be more, as we said this morning, church isn't just about Sunday morning. Right. It's about the whole week. And I really, really encourage you that even if you don't feel like it, to come midweek, because sometimes I don't feel like it, to be honest. Sometimes I think, but I better go. And I'm always blessed when I go. There's always something that happens, something, and I think, I'm so glad I went. And I could quite easily have a reason not to go. But if people want me to, if I've got a lot of non-Christian friends, and if they want me to meet them, definitely not on a Wednesday morning. Definitely not on a Sunday morning. There are other days in the week. And anything that we have with church, definitely not. Because that's my, and they know that now. They know not to ask me for anything to do on a Sunday and anything to do on a Wednesday, because I've made it clear. And because I need that. I need that infill. I need that fix, if you like, for want of a better word. And in Romans 12:10-13... be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. All those things, and you can't know if there's people in need if you don't meet with them. We don't have time on a Sunday morning to chat to people, really. It's lovely that we can chat and be sociable, but we don't have time to find out where people's needs are because it's so busy. Coming, meeting up during the week, going for coffee to each other's houses, meeting up for a coffee, just going down to the port for a walk on the Paseo, anything like this, you get to know one another, you can support one another, you can pray with one another, and it's things like that that we need that will help us to get rid of a lot of the worldly stuff and fill us so that we can then, yes, go out into the world and bring the good news, bring the gospel. We can do that, but we've got to not be in the world. We've not got to be taking up all the worldly things. We need to surround ourselves with like-minded people, which will help us to spring clean our bodies. And I've just said, yes, we have to be in the world and the good news. And where Jesus prayed for his disciples when he knew that he was going to be leaving them in John 17. And he said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And that's, we're in the world. We have been sent here. We gave our lives. He's given us a commission. We have been sent here to do his work. Not to be absorbed by the world, which often we can... It's easily done, isn't it? It's easily to just get absorbed with things that are going on in the world. But we're not to do that. Mm. We've got to sort of set ourselves apart. I'm not saying we're any better or any worse than other people. We've got God in our lives. We've got Jesus in our lives. But we have to live in this world to do what he has sent us to do. Not to get so absorbed that we become part of the world. And where is God in all this? You know, and God's way of living contradicts the world's way of living. So we have to be so in tune with God to carry out his work. Jesus was with the people on a daily basis, but he made time to refill himself. He took himself away and to pray with his Father so that he could have the strength. And that's what we have to do. We have to sometimes take ourselves a quiet room or meet with someone and say, look, you know, I'm in a place that I could do with some extra prayer. You don't have to shout it from the rooftops what it is, but people pray, we pray with each other without necessarily knowing what it is, but God knows. And the fact that you've acknowledged that you're getting sucked into things that you don't want to get sucked into, or you're getting sucked into worldly stuff. I mean, there's so many charities, particularly on Campusol, and that's good. And it's good to get involved. It's good to show the love of Jesus through some of the charities, or meet up with people. That is what we need to do, but not that it takes over our lives. And I know there's lots of people here that really do some good stuff in the charities and the work that the charities do. I used to help out at one of the charities, but I must admit that I found it was taking over, and I had to say, I can't do this anymore, because that's the other thing with a charity. You so want to help out, but then, oh, somebody can't make this, so can you do it? Yeah, I've got a free afternoon. And you get drawn in, and that's how it is. It's so easy to get drawn in. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be part of charities at all. It's just we need to make sure that we don't get so drawn in that we don't even have a life ourselves. And I know that sometimes our lives, we don't. I'm thinking, where's this week gone? What have I done this week? And since the fast, I've really sort of thought, yeah, I've got to make almost an appointment with myself to have time to spend with God, because, you know, I can arrange to meet so-and-so. And yeah, I'm doing okay, and I'm helping somebody, but by doing all the different things I'm doing, I've got no time for myself and God. I've got no time for myself, but myself and God, which is even more important. So it's just highlighted, you know, doing the fast highlighted for me how we need our quiet time with the Lord to hear what plans he has. And we can't have quiet time if our lives are so filled up with all sorts of stuff, which to me, a lot of it is rubbish. It's rubbish. It's just unnecessary stuff. And if that makes you, if you think I'm being a bit in your face, well, so be it, really. So we need to be empty. We need to take stock of our... What I would like you to do is to go home today, this afternoon, and take stock of all the stuff that you've got going on in your life, and think, right, can I really... Do I really need to do that? Do I need to be there? Do I have to do that? Do I need to watch the final episode of whatever? Yeah, do I need to watch Pointless? But I only watch television about 2 hours a night-ish. I don't think that's very much, is it? If it is, then it's 2 hours. If it's 2 hours, it's too much. But for me, that's my time, in a couple of hours. But some people, you know... I don't know here, because I don't know what people watch, but some people have the telly on all day, every day, and that's the focus. I'd rather listen to some music and do my jobs or do whatever I'm doing. But I still don't, I personally don't have enough time, I don't spend enough time with God, and I know I should. Because I'll either be knitting or doing my word thing that I do with certain people in this church that beat me. And I can find lots of things to do other than spend time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And we need to spend time with the Lord. If we want him on this new year for us to go forward, we need to spend time with him. And Paul sent a letter to the Philippians, which from Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So what we've already done, that's fine. But God's got more for us. We've got to press. We've got to strain forward. You know, let us be ready. Let us get rid of all that's holding us back. Let us be clean and empty vessels waiting to be filled with the sweetness of God. Not the stink of the full bin, but the sweetness of God. Let's be empty. Let us be expectant and excited for what God has got for us this year, individually and as a church. So get rid of all the rubbish in your lives, relook at your diaries, put God on every page, and then fill in all the other bits that you can just, that somebody wants, but have God on every page in your diary, and he will move you to places that he wants you to be. And he will stretch you, and he will do things with you that you would never imagine could happen. But if God's there with you, you can do it. Amen. And if anybody wants any prayer afterwards to do with getting rid of rubbish and stuff like this, come and see the leadership team and we'll pray for you, okay? Okay, amen.